two of my favorite memories. The first memory is of my buddy Matthew running full tilt and then leaping into a sliding door. And I came around the corner, just in time to see it happen. And it's been fixed in my mind ever since. He leapt into this sliding glass door, and it was like a cartoon where the glass bent and then shot him backwards. And here he was sprawled out on the floor. I learned something about myself that day. My first response was to laugh and then to ask if he was okay. So that's one of my favorite memories. Another one was my buddy John. Again, we were all serving Mass together. And long story short, he tripped and fell because a server was just kneeling down, so he tripped over the server's leg and fell in the middle of the Mass, in the middle of the aisle, and then had to bounce back up. And it was hilarious. And then for the first half of the Mass, everyone, including the priest, was trying not to laugh as they were going through the Mass. It was just so comical how it took place. Two of my favorite memories. I often find myself calling those to mind and smiling and sometimes even just laughing out loud thinking about it. Three profound memories, so experiences of God's presence. I've had three profound moments of experiencing God's presence. And the thing that ties them together is how radically personal they are. An observer from the outside looking in wouldn't see anything unusual. As a matter of fact, in one case, they might think it was an awful situation. But those are three moments of God's presence that I draw on, that I continue to draw on in my life. And one of them, they were all relatively short, one of them was a passing moment, maybe 30 seconds, 45 seconds. And it was this profound peace and sense that everything was going to be okay and feeling of love. And it was enough to melt all of the concerns that I had. Everything in the face of this 45 seconds was very trivial. Didn't really seem to matter that much anymore. Now, of course, the 45 seconds passed, right? And things start to come back into focus. But in our gospel, Peter, James, and John have a profound experience of Christ. Christ, for a moment, permits his divinity to shine out of himself, to shine forth. He permits for a moment the veil to fall, and for Peter, James, and John to get this sneak peek. Now the question is why? In our gospel, the mountain that takes all of our focus is Mount Tabor, right? This mountain of transfiguration. But on a spiritual level, right, the saints tell us that looking out from that mountain, you could see another mountain. You could see the mountain of the cross. You could see Mount Calvary. Jesus was preparing his disciples for what was coming. Saints talk about it as the scandal of the cross, the difficulty of the cross, the horrendous evil that's about to descend on Jesus' head. And his disciples are going to have to go through this and experience this horrendous evil. And so our Lord gives them this moment of seeing the truth of who he is, of who Jesus is. And it's so good. We get these words from Peter. It is good that we are here. It is good that we are here. Let's stay here forever. Basically, that's Peter's response at a glimpse of what's to come. Peter forgets everything else. Right? And he says he's ready to stay on that mountain forever based on that glimpse. Christ prepares the disciples. He gives them this transfiguration moment. The interesting thing is there's actually three mountains. Our gospel is about three mountains. Mount Tabor, the mountain of transfiguration. We just talked about the mountain of the cross, Mount Calvary. And there's one more mountain. It'll make sense. It's Mount Zion, the mountain of the heavenly Jerusalem. Another way scripture talks about it is God's holy mountain. And here's the logic. Here's the divine logic, right? When we're standing at the foot of the mountain of the cross, it can dominate our vision. When we are experiencing suffering in our life, it can dominate our vision. It can be the only thing we see. So what does our Lord do for the disciples? He puts them up on Mount Tabor, right? He gives them this transfiguration moment where they get to see briefly God's divinity. They get to experience this incredible consolation. When looked at like that, God puts them up on Mount Tabor. They see the mountain of the cross, but beyond the mountain of the cross, they can see Mount Zion. The cross and suffering is no longer dominating their vision when they are able to recall the transfiguration moment. We still have to journey over the mountain of the cross, but we can now see God's holy mountain, the eternal Jerusalem, Mount Zion on the other side. There's three mountains at play here. God gives us transfiguration moments. You know, each one of us has our own sort of unique story of holiness. And I pray to God that you've had those transfiguration moments. It's not many of them. I got three. But moments that you can draw on in your faith when things are really difficult that remind you of the Lord's sweetness and that remind you of the Lord's divinity and that help you see the reality of Mount Zion beyond the hill of suffering, beyond the mountain of the cross. And if you haven't had those transfiguration moments, then ask, right? Our Lord communicates himself to us in ways that only the individual appreciates. So ask for those moments if you haven't had them. But then be content with them when you get them. The saints talk about those transfiguration moments, those consolations as sort of, you know, a sweetness, but they're not the substance of our faith. And that's the point, right? The saints talk about consolation and desolation. Those are two things that we experience. We experience consolation when we feel God's closeness, right? And we experience times when we don't feel God's closeness. Doesn't mean he's not close, just means we don't feel his closeness. Sometimes those moments of desolation are sort of self-inflicted, right, based on what we do or what someone else has done to us, or a combination. Sometimes our Lord leads us into the desert. He's led his faithful people into the desert before. He's put the disciples on the stormy sea of Galilee. In every case, our Lord draws good out of it. He can draw good out of it. The danger is, right, that we suffer sometimes from an amnesia of God's works. And this is why over and over again in sacred scripture in the Old Testament, God's chosen people forget what God has done for them already. And then they go astray. They forget God's mighty works and they go astray. But God does do things for us. He gives us these transfiguration moments. Matter of fact, the greatest opportunity for a transfiguration moment is here in the Eucharist. Because it's God's veiled presence. And sometimes he lets slip to the individual the majesty and power resting on this little marble altar. So we call to mind our transfiguration moments. We remember that our Lord gave the transfiguration to the disciples to strengthen them for the difficulties to come. When we notice that we're in a time of desolation, right, what do? We seek God out and we tell him how we feel. Then we ask for his help. The other thing is we don't make any major life decisions when we recognize that we're in a time of desert, of spiritual desolation. But we do recall the times of consolation, that we do recall the times that our Lord has drawn close to us. And here's a very interesting thing. When we're in desolation, we look for someone to help. Because desolation fixates the person on themselves. When we're in desolation, we look for someone to help. And that turns our attention outside of ourselves. And then when we're in consolation, again, we seek God out and we tell him how we feel and we thank him. And then we store that memory. And the saints talk about how we also use the surplus of energy that comes from consolation, like rollover points. We use those to tackle difficult projects, things that are hard for us to do. So we thank the Lord at this Mass for giving the disciples and giving us these times of consolation, these transfiguration moments.